Do you have windows or doors that need to be fixed or replaced? It's time to ask the master window installer as part of our home improvement series here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So the door leading into our garage wasn't fire rated. We had it replaced soon after moving in. And then there was the screen door off our sunroom. We replaced it with a real door. And its window panes coordinate with the 9 double-hung windows in the updated porch. Lots to talk about in the area of windows and doors. Have you taken the plunge and purchased new windows for your old home? What was the installation process like? How has it helped with energy efficiency? Have you noticed anything? Did you get multiple quotes? How did they stack up? 800-642-1234. Carl Hartke is president of Windows of Wisconsin. The home improvement business has a showroom in Kaukauna. Carl, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's first touch on your industry for a moment. What is the need like for window installers or service technicians in this area you work in?
Well, right now it's really hard to find experienced window installers. So there's a shortage in all the trades, as probably everybody knows. And we could really use some young people getting back into the trades.
I could imagine no one single window installation is like the next. Everyone is unique, I would imagine.
They are. Everyone is unique. Every homeowner is unique. So every situation is unique. And that's part of the appeal. When I talk to my installers, they really like that part of it. There's no 2 days that are the same.
Yeah. So walk us through some of the most popular types of windows that people can buy. There is a lot of jargon out there.
Well, there's a lot of jargon. It really comes down to just several types of windows. So by far the most popular is the double hung window. That is the window that slides up and down. So you have the top sash and the bottom sash. The top sash slides down, the bottom sash slides up, and in the newer windows, they tilt in for easy cleaning.
They sure do.
That's your double hung. And then you have a horizontal sliding window, and it operates just the way it sounds. Also, you have a casement or a crank-out window. So that's where you turn that little crank on the bottom, and the window swings open to the outside like a door.
Yeah.
And then you also have an awning window. It's like a casement window flipped on its side and the bottom swings out.
Okay.
Go ahead. Those are the most popular ones. And beyond that, there's a little hopper window that's typically a utility window, sometimes used in the basement. And then you have other combinations like a bay window. That's a window that projects out from the house. So say it's a 3-panel bay window, the flankers on the side project out at a 30 or 45 degree angle and gives you that seatboard where you can set things.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a bay window. And there's also a bow window, which is really 4 panels or more, and that forms an arc. It doesn't have one flat center window. It forms an arc, so mm-hmm. there's the same angle between all the windows. That's a bow window.
Okay, and not to forget about skylights in the mix.
Oh, yes, they're skylights, roof windows, yes.
I wasn't aware that those little basement windows are called hopper windows. I mean, mine just look ugly and could really use some work and some attention. I mean, I think that one of them can actually open, but I wouldn't dare try it.
Well, you want to be careful. That's one reason why people replace windows is because they actually can be dangerous. So a hopper window is an upside down awning window. So instead of the bottom swinging out, the top actually swings in towards the room.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a hopper window. Yeah, they're good for basement windows or where you need a small rectangular window.
We're talking with Carl Hartke. He's a master window installer, leads a Wisconsin home improvement business focusing on doors and windows, fielding all your questions about window and door replacement and tips and tricks for what you need to do with your windows. 800-642-1234. Carl, can you kind of give us a sense of the cost of each window type? What would be more on the high end? I would imagine those bay windows would be or skylights, and what are some of the more common ones that might be more efficient for us and cost effective?
Okay, if I elaborated, that'd take the rest of the hour. I think you hit it on the head, though. A bay window or a bow window, those would be your most expensive windows. Now, if we go back to a double hung being the most popular, the range of cost is amazing because there's different materials. The installers, the dealers, they all determine what that final cost is to the homeowner. And the homeowner has, of course, some say in it that maybe they want a complete removal of the old frame and a new window installed with new trim and so on. So all those extra options drive up the cost. So in general, you'll see some advertisements out there, maybe 10 windows for X amount. That's on the very, very low end. That's why those people do advertise prices. So you could say in general, $400 to $2,000 for a double hung window installed.
That's a huge range there. But, you know, you also have to take into account, I would imagine, that it's not just the window. It's, of course, the components that go into the window. There's also the flashing and all the things that go in around the window, those materials as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. And so, like you said, the components that go into the window, in general, you have, let's just say, five different materials that you can build a window out of. Aluminum and steel, which really should never be used in Wisconsin in a residential home. It's just too cold. So if we skip those and we move on, say you have vinyl, wood, and composites.
Mm-hmm.
Vinyl is still the most popular as a replacement window. Typically, all vinyl windows are custom built to whatever size you need to fit into that opening. And there's so many different options and choices with the vinyl window. That's why they can literally range from $400 to $2,000 a piece. In general, wood replacement windows are more on the expensive end because they just cost more to make. And then if you want them custom stained to match your trim on the inside, that, of course, is a significant added cost. And composites. Now, there's different composites out there. There's different types of fiberglass composites. There's a wood vinyl composite called Fibrex. And there's also different formulations of vinyl, like cellular PVC. And sometimes that's referred to as a composite.
Hmm.
And when you get into those composites, also that is typically a more expensive window. However, there's benefits associated with some of those materials.
So generally speaking, though, vinyl is a real go-to material when you're replacing new windows, would you say?
I would say that's where a lot of people start because They're maybe not familiar with the other materials. And also, they're likely to have wood windows in their house right now that mm-hmm. are showing their age. And we all know what that looks like on a window that has maybe rot issues and the finish is coming off. So
yeah, 50 years in, those wood windows, Carl, they have a lot of issues. So when you see them through the decades.
If you have a wood window and it made it 50 years, that's pretty good.
Well, how about, so we've gone through these different types of windows, but is the technology that goes into these windows pretty uniform, pretty standard when you look at, you know, just all this latest technology that can really seal in heat or keep out the cold?
When you get into the technical end of it, that's where you really start to see differences in these products.
Okay.
At first, they may all look the same. Double hung window slides up and down, tilts in, easy to clean. So what's the difference from one to the other? Well, in vinyl alone, there's different types of vinyl. There's recycled vinyl, there's virgin vinyl, and there's UPVC vinyl. UPVC stands for unplasticized polyvinyl chloride. That would be your better vinyl. And it's made out of a compounded material such that it resists damage from the sun better than the other vinyl material. So that would be the go-to vinyl material. So that's one takeaway from the show is that if you're going to get vinyl windows, get UPVC vinyl windows.
So not just say vinyl windows, pay attention to the actual type of vinyl windows you're looking at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And then with wood, Typically, wood for the last 20 years has been clad with aluminum on the exterior so that that makes it more maintenance-free. However, there's different ways to clad that wood window, and there's different thicknesses of the aluminum, and there's different types of coatings on the aluminum that all determine the durability and the look of that window 20 years down the road. And so if that aluminum is not put on there correctly, that wood window will fail within 10, 15 years.
We have our windows and doors expert, Carl Hartke, a master window installer in Wisconsin. Are you dealing with drafty doors or windows? What questions do you have about your options? Did you recently replace your doors or windows? What have you learned through that process? Join in, 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up with Carl Hartke in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing windows and doors as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Energy Star is the government-backed symbol for energy efficiency. It says when you replace old windows with Energy Star certified windows, that it lowers household energy bills by an average of 12% nationwide. We have an expert, Carl Hartke, window and door business based in eastern Wisconsin, taking your questions for the hour. Let's go to Robert in La Crosse. Hi, Robert. What is your question?
We have a stucco home, and the windows, it was built in the early 70s. It's time to replace all the windows. And as we're doing our research and talking with local installers, we're getting a little bit different interpretation of what's the best for removing these and then reinstalling new windows. We've got casement. We're going to go with casement again, but it's somehow the way it's affixed to the stucco or around it. So that's my question. What's best?
Oh, Robert, thank you. Carl, what about the stucco home?
Stucco is always a challenge. So the first question that I would have is, are you considering doing inserts or complete removal of the existing window frame?
That's the question we've been asked several times, and we don't know the best answer to give for that. We want to go with whatever's going to be the best long-term solution.
Okay, so if your existing frame shows significant rot and damage that it has decayed beyond the point where it could support a new window, then it has to go. And that's where you're going to run into some trouble with installers, because now it's turned into a little bigger job, and it's scarier for them. They may not want to tackle it. So when your home was originally built, you said in the 70s, you should have what's called brick mold around the windows on the outside. It should be about 2 inches wide. And then the stucco may be butted up against that. Does that sound correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So now you have that 2-inch gap between the stucco and the actual window frame. And that is really a good situation, because you can now remove that entire existing window frame and the brick mold and put a new window into what we would call a rough opening. And then you can flash it on the outside correctly and add wood and cap that with aluminum if you need to, because the stucco is held back from the rough opening edge. Hmm. And so what you're experiencing is that a lot of installers want to do just inserts because it's quick, fast, and easy, and there's less liability on their end. So if you get a real professional installer, they'll look at that and say, this is no problem. I will just completely remove that existing window frame and brick mold, and we'll replace everything for you. And that is the answer to your long-term solution.
Robert, how does that sound?
Well, that was what I was looking for. I needed some expert advice, and I think that'll do it.
Robert, thank you. Multiple materials there, you know, in play. And Carl, I would imagine when you have different materials like that, it can be really tricky.
It can be tricky. And I would invite any callers, because there's so much information that they need, to give us a call at the office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Give us a call, whatever. We'll try to help them out, offline here. So It can be really tricky, and you never know for sure. Maybe if you're getting the best advice. So when you're shopping for windows and you have people come to your home, the best thing I can say is you want to feel comfortable with the person you're working with, and you should always go to their place of business. Go to their showroom and see what it looks like. See how you're treated when you're there. If you do that, that bypasses the slick salesman part of it completely. And that's always a good thing to do for your own benefit.
Well, let's go to Mary now in Kenosha. Mary, what is your situation?
Well, I have the crank out, I think, windows. I'm not sure what they're called, casements. Like the previous caller has. Mine is a house built in the 70s. Kind of a smooth face. Well, we have a rough cedar siding, but the windows are stacked one on top of the other, the lower level kitchen and then the upper level bedrooms. But the crankouts crank out onto a deck, so you're always bumping into them on the lower level. I'd like to replace them with a double hung in the kitchen, and the whole thing, the whole casing, everything needs to be replaced because there's rot around the frames. But what about the upper windows? Can I leave the crankouts on the upper level right above it and replace them with, and then just replace the lower ones? How will that look? It has kind of a slick look right now, but it's old and it's out of style anyway.
All right. Mary asking about that continuity. Go ahead, Carl.
That's a really good question, and that is a challenge faced by a lot of homeowners when they want to change something, because you have all those casement windows in there, and now if you put that one double hung down below it, it's going to look a little out of place. So I would say that that double hung will look a little out of place. There's no way around it that I can figure. Typically, double hungs are taller than they are wide, just like a casement window. So those are interchangeable types of windows, but the aesthetics from the outside are really important. So you'd have to weigh those differences and really decide what to do. There is one option, and I don't know if this would really help you, but you can get a casement window with what is called a simulated meeting rail. So when you have a double hung where those two sash overlap horizontally in the middle of the window, that's called a meeting rail. You can get a casement that has a bar going across it to mimic the look of a double hung.
Oh, a pretend one.
A fake one. I don't know if that would add continuity in that area or not, but that would be one option for you.
Mary, thank you for the call. We have Wisconsin Master Window Installer Carl Hartke with us as part of our Ask a Contractor series. Dwayne in Wausau wants to know about window warranties. Dwayne, go ahead.
Oh, good morning. This is an interesting topic. I worked at a window company a long time ago and making wood windows. But the warranty between different brands, like the big names, compared to, you have your heavy hitters like Pella, Marvin, Kobe, Eagle, Anderson. And then you got your Menards, Lowe's, Home Depot, replacements, Crestline, Sunrise, all these other. You see these windows every day. How do the warranties hold up? And is it better to get references from some of these, companies that make them and see how they are coming back and taking care of issues?
Yeah, Dwayne, thank you. Yeah, what do you see out there by way of warranties, Carl?
Really good question. And there's a variety of warranties, just like there are windows. And, of course, like Dwayne mentioned, how well does the company stand behind them? That's critical. Otherwise, the warranty doesn't matter at all. So typically in vinyl, you will see extravagant warranties, like double lifetime warranty, it's just incredible warranties. And then in wood windows, a lot of times you see like a 2, 10, 20 type of warranty, where maybe the hardware is 2 years, the frame is 10, and the glass is 20. So some of the differences there are simply from the manufacturer's perspective on the business. In other words, if you get a double lifetime warranty, it doesn't mean that window is going to last twice as long as another window. That vinyl manufacturer is likely to be counting on you moving as an average homeowner moves every 7 or 8 years, and then the warranty gets lost in the shuffle. So, so typically warranties are not really that well enforced after, say, a decade. So that is something that I see. You cannot really judge the quality of the product based on the warranty. Now, there's one other way to look at this, too, is that sometimes those incredible warranties, if you read the fine print, they'll say if it's in a commercial or industrial application, the warranty is 5 years.
Mm.
And so that kind of gives you a clue of what they're really going to stand behind.
Yeah.
And then that would be a red flag in my book.
Carl Hartke, master window installer with a showroom near Appleton, giving tips on window and door installation. Are you wondering about single pane versus triple pane glass? What questions do you have about choosing the most energy efficient options affordable for your budget? What about that jargon, a low E glass, a vacuum sealed argon fill? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking with the window and doors expert as part of our Ask a Contractor series on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. When I got an in-home window presentation by an installer, it lasted over an hour, maybe two, and I was overwhelmed by the options, the demonstration itself, and all the jargon. And at the end, it was really hard to figure out what we needed or wanted. So we held back, didn't do anything, got more quotes, and slowly did more research, and in the end, got 9 new windows that have worked out well for our old home. What's your window story? 800-642-1234. We have window installer Carl Hartke tackling your questions through the hour. Robert is joining us from Merton. Robert, hi. You want to look at the windowsill?
I do. And good morning. Thanks for taking my call. And Ken, thank you for providing all the insights. So I have some double hung windows. And I noticed on two of the windows, the sills seem to be deteriorating. And I'm just curious, how easy is it to replace just the sill? And then a tangent question would be, why do the sills deteriorate?
Okay, good questions. So on a double hung window, that sill typically has a slope between 5 and 14 degrees. And sometimes water can still sit on that sill. If you have a storm window mounted on that sill, the part of the sill that's below the storm window is called the sill nose. And I'd have to, you know, ask you a few more questions on that to determine that for sure. But if that storm window holds back any moisture at the bottom, then of course that moisture sits on top of the sill nose and causes that decay. Now, you can replace the sill nose because it's not really a architectural part of the window. It's more of a cosmetic part so that the water drips off of it and not runs down the siding. So the sill nose is easy to replace. The actual sill of the window is that bottom frame member, and that can be more difficult to replace, but it can be done.
Hmm. So, and also, can you, like, get out all the rot and decay, Carl, and then refill that area with something else?
Well, you can. It won't necessarily be 100%.
Okay.
But what we found in the past that works the best is that fiberglass strand Bondo.
Mm-hmm.
So Bondo works. Bondo sticks to just about anything. And when you get... when you get those corners that rot, like on the sill nose underneath the brick mold, outside bottom of the window, you can carve out all that rot and fill it with a fiberglass reinforced Bondo, sand it down, and paint it.
Been there. Robert, does that help?
It does. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Margaret now in Madison. Margaret, hi.
Hello.
Hi, Margaret. We can hear you.
Oh, hi. So I have a lot of indoor plants and things, and I was curious if different types of windows filter certain wavelengths so that some would be better for plants or worse for plants than others.
That's a great question. Carl?
Yes, we get that question a fair amount, and you're absolutely right. The different glass greatly affects how plants will grow on the inside. But here's the catch. The glass that insulates the best is the worst for the plants.
Mm.
So there's a bit of a trade-off there. If you want to reflect the heat back in towards the home, which is done by what's called a low emissivity coating, typically called a low E coating. And there's five different low E coatings that you can get on windows. That's getting maybe technical. However, the better low E coatings, like low E 366 or low E 272, do filter out some of the light that the plants would love to get. And in part, what that glass coating is doing is it's filtering out the bands of ultraviolet that cause damage. So that's why that type of glass is preferred, along with the benefits that you get from reflecting heat back to its source. So that better glass in the summertime reflects the heat back out and prevents fading of different materials on the inside. And in the wintertime, which is, of course, critical in Wisconsin, we have more heating degree days than cooling degree days. It reflects the heat back in.
Okay. Well, Margaret, so, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Carl.
Add to that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I could add that a little bit. So you could get what's called a low E 180 from Cardinal. There's a lot of different manufacturers that use this. That is more of your in-between, that your plants will still do really well, and you'll get a fair amount of benefits as far as from the insulating glass value.
What does it mean then with a vacuum-sealed argon fill? What does that mean?
Okay, so when a thermal pane is made, which is two pieces of glass that have a spacer between them, that airspace between those two pieces of glass is filled with argon. So the way that that's done is that there's say a little hose that's put in through the spacer system and injects the argon, and then there's another port where it comes out of the spacer system, and the quantity as a percentage of argon in that space is measured. When they get to where they want, they cap it off. So there's really no vacuum in between those pieces of glass. If there's a vacuum, that causes a problem, and I can talk about that too, but you want that airspace filled with argon. If you can, it does add some insulation value.
So what is your take then on single pane versus double pane, triple pane?
Well, single pane would never meet ENERGY STAR ratings in Wisconsin, or really anywhere else in the nation for that matter. Because if you're in Arizona, the heat would come through, and cooling a home is much more inefficient than heating the home. So you need thermal pane windows or dual pane windows.
And then where does the triple pane come in?
Well, triple pane is definitely an option. Now, you don't really need triple pane. There's a lot of pros and cons to this versus dual pane. Triple pane can post better U values. Sometimes there's more of an issue with seal failures down the road because there's more seals where it can leak. And of course, sometimes the associated cost with getting the triple pane means that the payback on energy efficiency there's a bad ROI. You'll never get your money back on them. So you have to be careful with that you don't pay too much for triple pane.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Carl Hartke. He's a window and door expert based in Wisconsin, tackling your questions all hour, 800-642-1234. Jeff is joining us from Superior with an older home. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, thanks. And I just wanted to chime in because I've restored several older homes. And just when you've got a home that's 50 and especially 100 years or so old, a lot of times that original window that's there, people just jump the gun because they know that window has to be addressed, but they don't understand the benefits necessarily of restoration versus replacement. And you could devote a whole show just to replacement or to restoration instead of replacement, and when that's appropriate. Just wanted to chime in that, if you stay on top of, reglazing, repainting, and even refitting some of the windows when needed, that can be a whole lot cheaper and really kind of fun to do, to replace or to restore windows instead of replace.
Oh, Jeff, that is such an important point. Carl, how can we make sure the upkeep that we do on windows is good and that we can also restore them?
Well, I like Jeff's perspective. If more people thought that was fun, I might be out of business, but that is perfectly fine. There's enough window replacements to happen. I really like the idea of trying to maintain and restore your old windows. They do have character, and sometimes people have us in their home, and it is a 100-year-old home, and they're trying to replicate that authentic look, and it's really difficult to do, and then the cost can be extravagant. So I'm behind Jeff 100% that maintain your windows, do what you can to keep them functioning, and some of those old windows will last a long, long time. We have replaced windows that are 150 years old.
Wow. So what are some things we can do to maintain the windows and keep them functioning so that they're working for us through the seasons?
Well, honestly, what Jeff touched on, a couple things with the glazing, you want to make sure that compound that holds in that old single pane glass is intact. That, and of course, painting on the outside. Some of that old growth lumber that these windows are made out of will hold paint a long time. And when it's done right, you only have to paint your windows every 15, 20 years, maybe.
Hmm.
So on the inside, what happens with some of those older single pane windows is you can have a moisture issue with them. And so the finish will tend to flake off and deteriorate. What some painters like to do is use more of like a tung oil stain that you rub in. And so you bypass putting a stain and a clear coat on because the clear coat will flake off eventually.
Mm-hmm.
When you put a hand rubbed finish in there, that soaks into the wood and it can make it last longer and it never flakes off. And so you want to stay on top of it if you want to keep your old windows. And that's really important, is the paint on the outside, of course, and the finish on the inside to try to not have that window frame soak up water.
Yeah, so like you're conditioning the wood at the same time when you're doing that rub-in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's go to Stanley now in Stevens Point on condensation on the inside. Stanley, hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, I made these styrofoam covers to cover our patio door on the inside in winter for insulation. And they're good for insulation, but when I remove them in the morning, there's a lot of frost on the inside of the patio door, usually like on the lower half. And then throughout the day, that frost eventually kind of dissipates. I don't know where it goes. So I guess what my question is, where does it go? Does that, it must melt. My question is that moisture harmful to the patio door or the framing?
Yeah, great question, Stanley. Carl?
I can tell you why that moisture is there and where it goes. So when you put an insulated panel or a heavy curtain, anything in front of a window that blocks the airflow from inside the home, getting to that glass, the glass is going to get colder. So now that glass drops below what we would consider the dew point. And as a law of nature, when the surface is below the dew point, condensation will form on it. So the moisture that you see forming there that turns into ice eventually is from inside your home. In the wintertime, the outside air is very dry because it's so cold it cannot hold moisture. So when you put that panel or drapery in front of the window, you stop the warm air from getting to the glass to keep it warm. And so you're effectively pushing that glass surface further to the outside and making it colder. And that may make your home feel warmer and add some insulation value, but the glass itself then is being insulated from the warm air on the inside, and that's what's causing that problem. So then when you take that styrofoam or insulation or curtain away and the warm air from inside your home gets to the glass, it then will absorb that moisture back into the air. So it turns back into humidity in the home because, of course, the air inside the home is warmer and can suspend that moisture.
Does that condensation then hurt the patio door?
Well, it certainly can. Depends on the patio door material. If it's
okay.
Wood, you have to be really careful. And of course, if it's vinyl or fiberglass, you're probably fine. Except one thing, you want to make sure that you don't get mildew and mold growing there. So I recommend to clean those surfaces with soft scrub. That tends to stop that from forming.
window installer Carl Hartke has a window and door business in eastern Wisconsin. Tackling your questions one at a time, 800-642-1234. Have you had issues with water leaks or drafts around your windows and doors? What's the problem that you're trying to fix? Still time to talk. We'll be back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're tending to the windows and doors as part of our Ask a Contractor series here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A lot of heating and cooling is lost through windows. According to the Energy Department, leaky windows could be responsible for more than a quarter of our home's heating and cooling bill. Well, still time to talk about your windows and doors, 800-642-1234. Carl Hartke is a master window installer and with us for about 9 more minutes. Carl, one more follow-up there on the condensation problem. Is there any way to stop it from building up, from accumulating in the first place?
Yes, there is. And I'm glad that we went back to that because it's such a prolific problem in Wisconsin. So if you want to help prevent it from forming in the first place, you need to try to maintain a low humidity level in your home. And so that would mean somewhere below 35%. In some homes, that's almost impossible. Yeah. And when you start to get below 25%, then it's uncomfortable and potentially unhealthy also. So if you are like me and you like a lot of humidity in your home, the other thing that you can do to prevent that from forming is to keep the air circulating. So we had that last caller with the styrofoam in front of the door. If you can move the air past your windows and doors, that will greatly reduce the chance of condensation and still allow you to have a higher humidity level in the home. One example would be if you have ceiling fans in the wintertime, keep them running all the time and have them blow up to the ceiling. That moves the warm air then across the ceiling and down the walls to warm up any windows and doors that you have and maintain a more even climate. And that can save you up to 10% alone in your energy bills.
Wow, that is significant. Now, would you suggest putting those little things across your under your door in the winter? I know we have this really heavy, I don't know what you call it. It was made, kind of a big fabric in front of the door.
Yeah, like the wiener dogs.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everything else.
That's a good analogy.
Unfortunately, some of them I don't think address really all the issues. However, okay. If your door leaks a lot of air in the bottom and that tends to help, then absolutely do that.
Let's go to Mike in Sparta. Mike, hi.
Hi, I had a question. My house is about 50 years old and it's adequately insulated, but it's not great. Would I benefit by spending extra money on super energy efficient windows, or am I limited to the insulated properties of the entire house in and of itself?
Mm.
That's a really good question. So insulating a house, if you can add insulation in your attic, get that up to an R50 if you can in Wisconsin, that would be great. That's going to be the best ROI on your energy bills. Insulation is a lot cheaper than replacing your windows. And so what we had talked about before with the triple pane, you have to be careful that you don't overspend on triple pane. There has been studies that if you go from a double pane window to a triple pane window in a 1500 square foot house at the 45th latitude, it may only save you $50 a year in energy bills. And that's if you drop the U value of the window from 0.27 to 0.2. So it's a significant drop in U value. However, it's not a linear equation that would equate to the savings on your energy bill.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure your windows function well, try to solve any air leaks that you have. And if you can insulate your attic, that's where you'd get the best return on your investment.
Well, Carl, I think we've fallen down on the job here because we've spent all this time on windows and we've neglected doors. Can you give us some tips on things to consider when buying and installing a new door?
Well, I would recommend a fiberglass door if it's an outside door. If it's a door that goes between, say, your kitchen and the garage, as they typically do, that does need to be a fire-rated door, and a steel door would work there. You don't have the same aesthetics with a steel door. However, they're less money to qualify as a 20-minute rated fire door. And the fiberglass holds up better to the elements and more use. They're tougher, they're better insulated, and they have better warranties on them. So I'd look for a good fiberglass door. Now, when it comes to fiberglass, you have different surfaces. You have a paintable surface, and sometimes you have an embossed wood grain that can be stained. That is simply for the aesthetics. It's not something that will give you an enhancement in performance. So if you went with a fiberglass six-panel door, that is probably your easiest way to upgrade that front door and get a good warm door. So I'm recommending fiberglass. An adjustable threshold also would be really important so that...
Wait, what's the adjustable threshold? What do you mean by that?
Thank you for stopping me. I can get on a roll pretty easy. So an adjustable threshold is the bottom of the door. When you close that door slab, there's weather stripping on the bottom of that door slab that seals to the bottom frame member, which is the threshold. So now where that weather stripping hits that threshold is typically adjustable. So when you open up your door and you look at your threshold on the bottom, you may see some Phillips head screws.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, you're in luck because that means your threshold is adjustable. So then what you do is you grab a Phillips screwdriver and you work the door while you're down there, looking at how that weather stripping contacts the threshold, and make sure that it contacts the threshold all the way across. But you don't want it to rub too hard, because if it does, then every time you open your door, you're putting a little twist in the door because it's catching at the bottom and you're pulling on the handle. So you want to make sure that it makes good contact, stops the airflow from coming in, and your door is still easy enough to operate.
All right. And then what about a screen door? Is that an energy-saving thing? Or if the door is a really good, solid door, is that good enough?
If it's a really good, solid door, yes, that is good enough. And that a storm door does not add a whole lot of R-value or energy-saving potential. What it does add to a lot of people is an added level of security. So they can open up their prime door, and they still have a storm door there. The other benefit to a storm door is the ventilation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know exactly why, but people tend to open their front door much more than opening a living room window.
Now, we're not going to get into the psychology of windows and airflow. Carl, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It has really been fun, and you have great callers, and I'm a big fan.
I agree. Carl Hartke, a master window installer, president of Windows of Wisconsin in Kakana. Be sure to join us a week from today for the next installment of Ask a Contractor. It's time to perfect those paint lines. I know. An expert teaches us tips and tricks for interior painting, including how to choose that right color. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.